Well, holy hot damn, this is pretty fucking cool. So last episode, I was exploring around... I really should have looked up how to pronounce this station. I've said it enough times now. But Xindian? X-I-N-D-I-A-N. Very easy to get to because the Taipei subway has different colors for the different lines. So this is the southern terminus of the Green Line. Super easy to get to. And pretty much anywhere you go from here is nice. I went across a suspension bridge and did a nice little stroll around, and it was all beautiful. But what I wanted to check out is there's hiking paths up into a mountain with a series of pavilions. It's like interlocked, a whole whack of different pavilions, and the signs are all like, okay, go this way for this pavilion or this way for this pavilion. I'm not sure what this actual mountain is called. Wait, didn't I say before it was like Lion's Head Mountain? I unfortunately have the problem that my pre-downloaded Google map, sometimes it tells me stuff in English, sometimes it tells me stuff in Chinese. I still don't understand how it works. I thought it was if I hadn't logged on to the internet, it wouldn't give me English, but I was logged on earlier, so who knows. I heard a little scrabbling sound at this pavilion I'm at, and it's a squirrel. Hey there, squirrel. It does not seem very scared to me, just chilling out. But anyway, this is very easy to find. I'll get the proper names after, but it's just east of Xindian Station. And it literally is like exactly just like two blocks away, because I'm sure you can hear that traffic very clearly. Because what I'm seeing now is like an amazing view, just an incredible view. I think this is the highest elevation to lack of distance I've had to walk that I've experienced yet anywhere in Asia. This is nuts. Just a couple of blocks to the beginning of this path. And yesterday when I was here, when it was raining, I hung out long enough that it stopped raining. So I did go up and I just did a quick little tour of the lower parts of this this path. You can just kind of go up, go to one of the lower pavilions, hook back into the main street, and that's that. So I just did that real quickly yesterday. Today, because the weather is so impossible to predict in Taipei, it was actually raining when I left the house, but it wasn't raining as much. So I thought, let's just test it. Let's just try it. Oh, there goes squirrel. See you later. What if I just head down here while it's raining? Because that's what happened to me yesterday, is it was nice out, and by the time I got out of the subway, it was raining. So I banked on it being the opposite today, and that's what happened. It was raining when I got in the subway, and then once I got out of the subway at about 3 p.m., now it's perfect weather, totally beautiful. There are some clouds, but I think we're done with the rain. It even made it cool down a little bit, briefly. It's still pretty fucking hot, but... So now I'm going up farther at the first, there's little intersections with little signs and little maps even. So there's the, here, just go down this way to the closer pavilion and bail out, which is what I did yesterday. This time I went further out to the next one. The pavilion name starts with Q, but yeah, I don't remember what it is, but I'll get the name in a bit. And then you just go up, just straight up these steps, just super, super straight up, way, way up. I wish I knew how high up I am. Because this view is nuts. Like, I can see the whole fucking neighborhood. There's the river with a bunch of bridges. There's this huge highway. It's like a dual highway. Two elevated highways next to each other, each with three lanes. And then under that is a four-lane highway crisscrossing under it. So that's all the traffic noise. But it looks cool as fuck from up here because it's just little teeny cars. Well, like, the cars are not as small as they were on Gunsan, say, and that was 400 meters. So I'm gonna guess this is like, you know, 180 or something. It's not like crazy high. It's just that the town is right fucking there. Like, I just left the subway. In fact, that is the subway. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's right, this is nuts. Like, it's so close. The classic, like, I couldn't throw a rock and hit it, but I could shoot a BB gun and hit it for sure. And yet I'm in the sky. I'm just way up in the sky. Like, the geography is so fucking crazy. This is like the edge of Taipei, where it just becomes mountains that go on for days and days after this. And it's just so immediate. Like, there's no gentle foothills and shit. It is just like, boom, straight up. Oh, hey, I don't know if you're the same squirrel or a new one, but yeah, the squirrels love this fucking pavilion. And yeah, just straight up in the air and just this amazing view on this beautiful day. And this was so easy to get to, it's insane. Like, I thought some of those views in Fukuoka were pretty easy to get to because it only takes 2 hours, you know, or 90 minutes. This took 20 fucking minutes. I bought 2 onigiri and 2 bags of chips. I only wanted 1 bag of chips, but the guy informed me it was a buy one, get one free, so I have an extra one. I literally, just as I was walking up here, I ate my 2 onigiri and my bag of chips. That's how long it took me to get up here. Do I hear someone? Maybe I should get out of here. Maybe I'm eating up too much time. Oh, there is someone, but I don't know. They're just passing by. Yeah, I think I'm monopolizing the space. I'm ruining everyone's day. But yeah, that's how long it took me to get up here. Just the time to eat 2 onigiri and a bag of chips. Insane. So beautiful. This is 100% worth it if you come visit Taipei. Because just come to this station at the end of the Green Line, hike for 20 fucking minutes and just get this incredible view. This is like amazing. And then way in the distance, you can see the mountains. Like there, I mean, there's really 2 sets of really prominent mountains I've come to learn. There's the, there's Yinhanglin, where you can see almost the entire panorama of the town, almost the whole 360. And then there's the national park, Yangmingshan. And you can see both of those from here. So I still have not been to Yangmingshan properly, but it's interesting to see the other one and see it. And just like, that's where I was, dude. I looked at this view from over there a couple weeks ago. When you look clear across the city and you see all of Taipei, I'm on the other side now. Yeah, this is incredible. Anyway, yeah, let me go down to just one of these signs, because it's also... Oh, hey there, squirrely. It's also... Ah, I see. Okay, I wasn't ruining anyone's day too bad. This dude is just at the bottom of the pavilion. Oh, and here's another local just passing by. So yeah, I think the locals, they don't care as much. They've seen this view a million times, probably. Oh yeah, there's another one. So there's a ton of people up here, and yeah, they're just passing by. They don't even care to stop and look at the view, which I understand. They're just doing this for calisthenics. And again, it's hardly impressive, I guess, if you live here. It's like, so what? So what if I got to this view? It wasn't exactly hard. It took 20 fucking minutes from the subway. Man, I cannot believe how close this is. It's insane. It's so cool. All right, here we go. I'm going to continue on and explore the different pavilions, see where I can go from up here, see how far it goes. But the one I was at, if you did just come here just to do one thing, Qingnian Pavilion, Qingnian. And I think the one I went to yesterday, Shizilu Pavilion, Shizilu. And now if I go back, Qihu Pavilion, Cihui. Now I gotta figure out where I'm going, but I think if I backtrack a little bit, there's a proper map with little dotted lines a la Family Circus. Because I'm not quite sure. Yeah, here we go. Oh, I see. North is not up. I hate when they do that with these maps. I wish north was always at the top. That's what confused me. So yeah, Shizilu Pavilion is where I went yesterday, so that'll just take me back down to civilization. So yeah, I think I actually need to go backward now. I'm at the Qingnian Pavilion, and I want to go to Qihu Pavilion. And then from here, there's Zulin Temple, Wangyu Pavilion, Shangsu Pavilion, Mingde Pavilion, Fude Temple, Fumin Bridge. So I'm really not sure how far this goes, but I mean, again, because we're by the edge of town, I don't know. It could just all loop back into town, or it could go forever. I have no fucking idea. But I'm going to go a bit further. I'm at least going to try to get to first this Qihu Pavilion. Oh, it's actually really close. And then Wangyu and Shangsao Pavilion and Mingde. I guess Mingde Pavilion seems like that'd be an okay... Well, I guess I'll just recalibrate from there, because it's a little hard to tell. It doesn't seem that far, but who knows. Anyway, yeah, this is cool as shit. The only downside is, I mean, you can hear a lot of traffic because it's so close to town. But that's a big bonus, too. It is so close to town. It's, like, stupid close to town. I can't even get over this. This is ludicrous. And it's like, I don't know, if you just like going up on tall mountains and looking at cool views, as I clearly do, this is the best return on investment ever. Oh, here's this other pavilion. Amazing. Yeah, this is so little effort. It's insane. Even if you're a person who was tragically born without legs, I bet you could get someone to just carry you up here. It's so close. Holy fuck, look at this view. What the fuck? Holy shit. Yeah, from over here, it's actually a little scary to my fear of heights because I'm walking out onto a deck that they've built. Yeah, you can see the mountains all around. This shit is fucking wild. And yet, there's the subway station right down there. Oh, there's a weird little path you can actually... I don't think you're supposed to. But there is a bit of a path where you could walk out onto an outcropping. There's a flag there. If you're fucking insane. Man, fucking beautiful. And the little signs say, smile trails. I don't know what that refers to, what constitutes a member of the smile trail system, but it's a good fucking name, that's for sure. I am smiling, bro. All right, I made it to another pavilion. This one is, I believe, the one that starts with W. I should just take a picture of the signposts so I'll remember the names. It didn't take very long. All this stuff is very close, but already you can't really hear traffic anymore, so that's nice. But man, this is a crazy example of how small Taipei is. This is blowing my fucking mind. So this pavilion, it's the other one you could go up one set of stairs. This one you can go up two sets of stairs, so it's really high up. And again, there's a guy just sitting at the bottom, checking his phone. Like, I think the people who hike this regularly, yeah, they don't care about the views anymore. They don't give a fuck. But when I went the other way from here, see last episode, there was a point where I had this cool view out across, like to the south is just mountains. Very beautiful in its own way, but just endless mountains. But there was a view back to the north, and it's like, oh, that's neat. There's Taipei, I can see it. And one of the notable things was the Taipei 101, this tower that I keep seeing from all over, all different places in the city. You can almost always see the Taipei 101. It's like the only big tower like that, I believe. So it's very, very evident. And it looked very far away because, you know, it's way up by the red line and I was at the bottom of the green line. You know, it's like halfway across, if not a little further than halfway across Taipei. But now just going the other way, going more toward the tower. I'm not sure what that squeaky noise is. Random squeak in the distance. Anyway, walking in the direction of the tower, again, like I said, I have not been walking a long time, you know, total 40 minutes maybe, something like that. And from up in this pavilion, I can see out across the city, and there's the Taipei 101, and it is noticeably closer. Way, 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 way fucking closer. It's just like, what the fuck? That is so crazy. Like, this now looks like, it's that classic thing where it looks like I could walk to it from here. So that means 3 hours. You know, it's not close, but it looks close, but it's just because it's a huge tower. You know, maybe 2 hours because it's not as big as, you know, I'm using that as an example, the CN Tower and the Skytree, and it's not a tower like that. It's not that big. But the point is, it's just like, it's insanely larger than the last time I saw it. It's many times larger. It's just like it triggers in my brain as feeling close. It's like, oh, look at that, it's right there. I could just walk over to that neighborhood. It's like no biggie. And then I looked at the map and it's like, yeah, like it's not close, but it's not far. It's like, fuck, dude, Taipei is so small. It's so small. It's all just packed in. And this reminds me of the guy I met from Alabama. What was his name? Alex? I've already forgotten. But I met a guy recently on a mountain over there, over yonder, over on the other side of the Taipei 101. There was a local guy. What was his name? His name was Duke, like the university. And the fella from Alabama. And one of the things the Alabama guy said is we were talking about just how convenient it is in Asia compared to North America, that North America is so big and so spread out. And I was saying, like, yeah, I don't even have a license. I'm double fucked in North America. The dude from Alabama was polite enough not to follow up because he obviously has a license, because everyone has a license. I'm the fucking weirdo who never learned how to drive. But anyway, he said, yeah, but it is great around here. It must be because there's so many mountains and there's so little space that you can properly use to build on, that you just have to build everything in a mindful way, and everything is so well connected and so easy to get around. And yeah, that is absolutely true, because not only could I hop down there and hop on the subway and just go over to the Taipei 101 in no time, I could just fucking walk there. It's fucking bananas. And from this vantage point, there is another mountain somewhere, you know, to the southeast of the Taipei 101 that is a very distinct mountain with a very distinct peak. And, you know, I'll tuck that away. It's like, I gotta figure out what that is. Can I go there? Probably. I don't see why not. It's right fucking there. It's even closer than the tower. Wild. And then from the other side of this pavilion, there's the endlessness. There's the mountains that never stop, that just go clear across the entire country. But yeah, man, that is fucking cool as shit. Oh, here's a little height marker. 217 meters for where I am now. So I feel like where I was before, my guess of about 180 was probably pretty accurate. It's funny too, though. It says 217 meters. It's just written in marker. But then under it, it has the date, 2020-0307. It's like, all right, cool. But I don't think that the height of the mountain probably changed much ever. So that's kind of funny. But to be totally accurate, 217 meters is the height that this was in 2020. Oh, and here's the sign. Yeah, okay, cool. So I was just at the Wangyu Pavilion, W-A-N-G-Y-O-U Pavilion. And yeah, all of these are so extremely close to each other. Some of the signs are not completely clear. But if that's ever the case, just walk a little bit further and probably a few meters away is another sign that has the other, like, there's so much going on here, I guess, so many different routes and trails that there's not enough room on all the posts for all the information. So there's probably another post nearby that has the other stuff you might need. So I guess Mingde Pavilion, oh yeah, there's distances here. How did I not notice that? Mingde Pavilion, only 65 meters, mega close. So let's head there now. Kind of neat too. Here there's like a lower down underneath sub pavilion, there's a little mini shrine with some Buddhas and various religious iconography and benches and a table and a mirror, shades of Seoul. Hey buddy. Classic neck beard stuff. All I've got is stubble, but yeah, the stubble beard and the stubble mustache aren't so bad, but the stubble neck, yeah, I should have done a quick, get that stubble off your neck, son. Face stubble is cool and rugged. Neck stubble just means you didn't fucking shave. But yeah, as a Mosian, I'll just update on what's coming up next, because I've got some stuff going on. Oh, there's another squirrel. Man, the leaps of squirrels are crazy. It just leapt off of the handrail of these stairs, because there's still steps all along this whole route. Just leapt over onto a branch. Crazy. Wow, is this the Mingde Pavilion already? Maybe. I guess it was only 65 meters away. I might be running out of runway here. I'm not sure how much further this system goes. But this has been fucking rad, even if this is all it is. Somewhat similar to when I went north from on the Brown Line from those lakes. And it's just a relatively short walk through the mountains, but just very nice and super convenient. But yeah, I had to decide what to do next because I only have a bit over a month left in Taiwan on my visa. And I don't know. Yeah, it's like weird. It's a little weird all around, where ideally I would like to just wait the full year before I go back to Japan, just so there would be no question that I could go back in and it would be no problem. But I also need to fly back home during the low season when the weather's a little bad, just so I can get a semi-affordable flight, because the flight prices... Oh, there's a spider. I'm not sure if you're a Joro. I don't see any yellow. Maybe not. Maybe a different kind of spider. Fucking huge, though. My Taipei visa expires basically right at the same time as I went to Japan last time. Last time I arrived on October 26th, and my Taipei visa expires on October 24th. So yeah, ideally, I guess I would go somewhere else for 3 more months, and just to make totally sure I can get back into Japan with no problems. But the whole reason I ended up staying so long in this part of the world is I intended to just stay in Korea for 3 months and probably come home. But I didn't realize Korea would have a 6-month visa available to Canadians. And then by the time that was done for, it was summer and the flight prices had like literally tripled to get home. It was like, fuck this. It is not worth it. Why don't I just go to Taipei and, you know, just stay in this part of the world where everything is, once you're here, it's quite inexpensive. And, you know, what's the hurry? I already took 4 years of my life off because of COVID. You know, let's soak this in. But now I need to time things out so I don't stay in this part of the world too long, because then it'll be spring again and I'll be back in the same situation. So basically, I'm just going to try to go back to Japan, but I mean, there is always that slight worry. Like, from what research I did, it should be fine. It should be okay. I'm just a tourist. I'm just from Canada. They just don't have it on the books. There's no official ruling about people coming back too soon. And it's not like I just left for 2 days and came back. I mean, I left for 9 months before I come back. I think it'll be okay, but I can't help but be a little apprehensive. So I've got that flight set up. Which, that was weird too. There's just not that many flights from Taipei to Japan. And they're just random ass. You know, I had the problems with China Eastern Airlines being kind of shitty. So I looked up these random ass flights from Taipei to Japan, and the TripAdvisor reviews are not that good. It's like, I wouldn't recommend this one. And then I looked at the next one and people recommended that even less. But a lot of the reviews were for changeovers and switches and parts of larger flight systems and yada yada. I'm just flying 3.5 hours from here to Japan. I was like, how bad could it be? I don't know. And what choice do I have? There's just not that many airlines. If I want to spend, you know, $250 to get there and not $500 or $600. And I did spend the bit extra, because like these tickets, they'll say $180, but it's that situation like Peach Airlines in Japan, where the $180 version, where the very low price version is like you don't even get a bag. So, you know, I paid the extra. The way this one worked, I don't remember what it was called, Jetstar, I think. There's the technically lowest price where you just get nothing and it's not functional. And then there's the, you know, add on the $60 whatever package where you get to check a bag, you get a meal, you get the normal stuff. And I was like, yeah, whatever, just give me that. I'm not fucking with this anymore. I only have one bag, but I do have the one bag. I got to at least have that. So I got a ticket for like $250, and I don't know, how bad can it go? And again, I don't know. It was either pick this bad airline or that bad airline. So fingers crossed. But then this also just feels a bit weird, because Japan, you know, it's the special Japan thing of like, I went the first time in 2019 and then I didn't get to go again until 2023. And it was all cool and amazing and like, whoa, I'm going to do a whole podcast about this. This feels way too soon, way too soon. You know, it's like, wow, I'm going back already? Crazy. I mean, I'm glad, but it certainly does not feel the same. I mean, especially it's weird just because of the cascading effect also of putting out this podcast lower than real time. So in real life, right now, I'm editing the episode where I went to Mount Takao in Japan. So like, I'm still in Japan in the podcast. So, you know, a couple times a week, I sit down to edit that podcast and I get to walk through my little mind palace and remember Japan. It really feels like I just left. And I did. I did just leave 9 months ago. That's nothing. So going back feels a little weird in that sense. And also, it's a good thing, but traveling to these other countries in Asia has really taken the pressure off of Japan. Instead of Japan being the big magical place that has all this significance because I grew up reading manga and playing fucking Japanese video games. Those must be frogs. Hey, froggies. I'm back down more or less on the ground now. But yeah, all that stuff was very, I was very taken with that feeling when I first got to Japan. That weird feeling of nostalgia that is like a remix of my own nostalgia growing up in the 80s. But, you know, as things shook out, what I really liked about Japan more so was going hiking and the convenience stores and the transit. And now that I've been to South Korea and Taiwan, it's like, oh yeah, but these countries very much offer that as well. You know, if I just want to go out and go for a hike, exactly what I'm doing today. There's a lot of places in Asia that are this way. Culturally, Japan is always gonna feel more like it vibes with my brain deep down with my little weird childhood. But just the day-to-day, just go for a cool hike through the mountains. There's lots of options. And in fact, it's actually easier to get to mountains in Taiwan and South Korea than it is Japan. So that's good. It takes kind of some of the pressure off Japan because it really was like that. I remember that last day I was in Japan at Ome on the Ome Trail. And I literally shed tears. It's like, ah, oh, man, this sucks. I don't want to go. And then I got to fucking Seoul, and Seoul, before I figured out how to get to the mountains there, was so crushingly shitty. I was like, God damn. Holy fuck, whiplash. Going from Ome to Seoul? Yikes, heaven to hell. But then, you know, I sorted out how things worked a little better in South Korea, and that all became fun as well. So yeah, it's like I'm excited to go back to Japan, but I could certainly wait. I could absolutely wait. If anything, I feel like I should wait. I should put more time between trips so that it builds up a little more significance. But I don't really have a choice. If I want to go back, it's now or never. I got to go back so that when my 3 months in Japan is up, it'll be January in this case, very end of January. Hopefully I can get a flight home, because the weather sucks, that doesn't cost an arm and a leg. If I put off Japan for the 3 more extra months, then that'll put me smack dab in spring. I'll be stuck in the exact same problem. I'll either have to stay in Asia for another summer or just fucking bite the bullet and go home. All right. Yeah, that was it. That was the trail system. I'm officially on a road. First thing greeting me is a scooter. Yep, all the signs here. Oh, I guess this is the name of the trail system. Shitoshan. Shitoshan Trail. Shitoushan. So yeah, that was a fully recommended, 10 thumbs up, excellent trail. And then, yeah, this way to this road, this way to this road, this way to... Oh, here's another cross ridge trail, but it's 2 kilometers away. Not exactly close, so that's something else. That actually might be where I was the other day. So I think we're good here. I think I'll just head back to civilization. I suppose, though, this is something that I've noticed lately, is that I always, like, get through these trails and then I just walk down roads till I get home. Do I want to walk down the road? Why don't I just go straight back? Fuck it. Why not? I'm just going to go back into this trail system and just walk back through it the other way, because I know it'll take me right to the subway at the other end. Why walk down the road for an hour when I could walk back through the trail? And trails in the reverse, when you go through them backwards, they feel pretty different. So yeah, I'm heading back to Japan a little sooner than feels proper in the cockles of my heart. And, you know, I mean, I guess it'll go okay, but who knows, you know? So I didn't want to book too much stuff ahead of time, because I usually book everything before I get to Japan. I got the whole 90 days booked out just so I can actually get places at a decent price. But I don't quite know what I'm doing this time. And I don't want to book a whole whack of stuff just in case. in case they don't let me in. You know, I still don't know how that works. I guess, I don't know, just lead me over to an airplane counter and I just buy a ticket to somewhere else, you know? And then I guess I'll just go to Vietnam or something, I don't know. Probably it'll be fine, but who knows? I just have no way of knowing. So I didn't want to book too much stuff ahead of time. But what I was thinking is where I ended off last time, I was in Yokohama and I was real taken with the coastline and realizing that the trains just keep going and keep going and keep going. And I was like, man, I wish I could just go further and further down the coastline and see what happens. So I thought, why don't I go back to Yokohama to start with? Start where I ended, and I loved Yokohama. I thought it was really cool. The little specific room I was in last time was so neat. I liked it a lot. So it wasn't available the first week that I'm getting back to Japan, but it was available the second week. So I booked it the second week. So I figure I can hang out in Yokohama for a week, soak that in, then just start, you know, piecing together a plan of let's see if I can just go down the coastline. I don't know. I don't know how much Airbnb is available. Maybe I'll have to try to do hotel stuff. It's going to be a lot more expensive because I'm not going to have stuff planned out well in advance. I think this time I'm going to try to be a little looser and a little more flexible with my trip to Japan, and I've just accepted the fact that that's going to be more expensive. And also more expensive because I don't want to book out any farther than that until I get there, until I know for sure I can get into the country. And that place does have a refund policy that if I have to refund it on October 24th because they won't let me into Japan, it is a full refund, so there's really no problem there. That's early enough for the full refund. But then I was like, all right, so what am I going to do on the first week when I first get in? I couldn't get a flight to Haneda, only to Narita, and it gets in at about 5 o'clock. And then it occurred to me, like, oh yeah, there is Norihiko, the guy I met in Chiba, who took me to an izakaya and was a cool dude. His place in Chiba is very close to the airport. It's like a 40-minute ride. So I was like, yeah, I should do that. I should just go say hi to him. I don't have any particular reason to go back to Chiba except to say hi to him, but it's just really convenient. Real easy to get to from the airport. But he only had the one day, just the one day that I first arrived was available. Then the next day was booked, and then the whole next week was free. It's just this one, somebody booked one day and fucked shit up. But the way he had stuff set up, it was a little weird. It was like a dorm system with like four beds. But he only has it as one listing on Airbnb. And then he said, like, hey, if it looks booked, drop me a line and maybe we can sort something out because there might be spaces. I was never quite sure how that all worked. And while I was there, it was just me. Nobody else was in any of those bunks. So I did message him. I'm like, hey, pal, looks like I'm coming back to Japan. I see that one of the bunks is taken. But, you know, what was that all about with the double bookings and stuff? Could we sort something out? And it turns out maybe normally he would, but he can't in this case because the person who booked is a woman and he doesn't want to book mixed genders. He doesn't want to throw a man in there when a lady has booked. And I think that's a good policy. I think that's understandable. If I was some lady who booked there and suddenly some random dude shows up sleeping in the bunk across from me and I wasn't prepared for that, I wouldn't enjoy that, you know? I think you really got to be super upfront about that if you're going to have mixed dormitory situations. So he said, like, hey, buddy, sorry. Like, I know it's you and you're fine, but I don't want this lady to be uncomfortable, so I'm afraid I cannot double book you in there. So I was like, okay, no, that's no problem, but I'm gonna figure out what I'm doing. I'll let you know. And then I was always curious about the, like, East Chiba, east of Narita. Like, what's over there? So I started looking at places, and there were some, but they are also, like, Japan is so much tougher to book than South Korea and Taiwan. There's just so fewer options for low prices. Like, I found a couple of places over on the east coast of Chiba, but they weren't easy to get to. They're not the kind of thing I would want to try to navigate to starting in the evening, you know, through the darkness, arriving at Narita. and then trying to get there. And then they were still only available for like a couple of days each. I'd have to stay at one place for a couple of days and then another place for a couple of days. So I was just not sure. I was just like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I was hemming and hawing a bit. And then I got a message from Norihiko saying like, hey, potentially good news. One of my bookings canceled, so I have more availability when you arrive. And I was like, at first I was like, oh, did that one person, did she cancel? That'd be so perfect. But no, what it is he has a second, like a separate private room. That's where Anna and her brother, who I met there last time, that's where they stayed. Since it's a private room, it's double the price. It's pretty expensive. Instead of $30 a day, it's $60 a day. By far the most I've ever paid for an Airbnb. No, that's not true, I suppose. When me and my friends went to Amsterdam, the first time I went there, we rented a whole house. That was crazy. But, on my own, that is much more than I've ever spent for an Airbnb room. But it was available. So basically he was like, you could, if you want to spend the money, you could book that room, stay in that for the weekend. And then when the cheaper room is opened up and free, you can switch over to that. And I just decided, like, yeah, let's do that. Just because I know him, I know how to get to his place. It's going to be no problem to get there from the airport. And, I mean, ultimately, it's a little bit weird because I'm spending more money than I would like to spend. Double price for the first couple of days. And it's going to be a whole week in Chiba. I mean, last time I was only in Chiba for 5 days, and I distinctly remember thinking, like, that's enough. That's enough Chiba time. What else is there to even see here? So this is going to be quite a weird re-entry to Japan that I am just staying in Chiba for way too long. But it just kind of worked out that way of, like, I just needed to fill the time until the Yokohama place became available. And it was just a lot easier on my mind. I was already a little nervous about just trying to even go back to Japan a little bit before I'm supposed to and just hoping it'll all work out. So I didn't want to book all these different places if I didn't have to, all across the eastern coast of Chiba. And then if something goes wrong, I have to apologize and cancel to all these people. Where in this case, if something goes wrong, I probably won't even cancel with Norihiko. I'll just say, like, just keep my money, dude. I'll see you again next time, Just an act of goodwill. It's just more comfortable because I know him in case something goes wrong. And then I was thinking, like, well, all right, I'm going to be in Chiba if everything goes well for the whole week. That is way too long. But I can just explore Chiba more. Like, I saw a travel vlog. I think it was currently Hannah. She's an Australian vlogger who lives in Japan. I think she did one about down at the southern coast of Chiba, some kind of big crazy temple. And then I was looking at that East Coast stuff of, like, well, maybe I could just go on a day trip to go over to visit the East Coast. But Chiba's fucking huge. Fuck, it's big. I guess I didn't really realize how big it is. Because to get from Norihiko's place right at Chiba Station all the way to the East Coast, it's like almost 4 hours. One way. It's like, is that really true? But I guess so. It's just a lot of transit and trains that are not necessarily that popular. No express trains. Maybe they don't come all that often. Yikes. So to get all the way there and all the way back in one day, I don't know. And then to go down south, again, it's huge. Like the distance from Tokyo to Yokohama, it's that same distance, but even probably farther. And it's like, fuck, I don't know. So I'm going to try to go explore around Chiba. I'll have all week, so I'll have plenty of time. But I don't know how realistic it is. Chiba's just really fucking big. And even Norihiko himself, he said, it actually sounds like it might have been interesting to go check out the east coast of Chiba. And I said, yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm curious about it. I'm curious about being over there. And he was very self-deprecating about his neighborhood when I first visited him, of like, I don't even know why you're coming here. There's nothing here. And now that I've been there, he's not wrong. I'm really not sure what I'm going to do with myself that first week. But I guess because I'm just sort of vaguely uncomfortable about going back to Japan a little earlier than the full year, and I don't have an entire 90-day itinerary booked and figured out. I've only got the first 2 weeks now because I just want to get there and make sure they let me in the country before I figure out anything else. And then from there, I still don't really know what I'm doing, I think I'm just going to try to go down the coast from Yokohama, just start heading west and just see how far down the coast I can go, see if I can find places to book, and then just see what happens. And then if some, I don't know, if it all falls apart, then I guess I'll just bail out and I'll just hopefully just grab a flight or something, either to just go back to Fukuoka or go up to Western Tokyo or something. But it's all kind of up in the air initially. So, I mean, the fact that I might not have much to do in Chiba, who the fuck cares? Doesn't really matter. But I have put myself in a slightly weird, kind of funny situation. But anyway, that's the plan after Taiwan. Back to Japan, a week in Chiba, a week in Yokohama, and then brand new adventures. So, for now, I'm just trying not to think about it too much, because why bother stressing about something that I don't know what's going to happen and I have no control over? Just enjoy Taiwan while I'm here. It's going by very fast. Only a month left. I still haven't made it to the national park. But so far, I think my stay in Taiwan has been pretty tip-top. It's been very fucking cool. But that's what's coming up. Stay tuned for, hopefully, Japan Round 2. Or if not, yet another wacky tale of calamity at the airport. Yeah, here we go. Here's the official... I didn't see this sign on the way down. Is it the same name that it had before? I feel like this name is spelled different. Anyway, the way it's spelled here, S-H-I-H-T-O-U. Shito Mountain Natural Trail. This is this really cool wooden sign with some kind of animal. I'm not quite sure. It looks kind of like a gopher. But anyway, Shito Mountain Natural Trail. Not an extremely long trail, but a super awesome one. Just if you just want to go straight up into the sky and get a bunch of amazing views that are super close to the Shinjan subway station on the Green Line. Pretty fucking amazing. Oh, and there's lights. I didn't notice that either till just now. There's also lights, so if you do happen to get caught here in the dark, you're probably okay. Oh, and here's a little sign. Better mobile signals here. Yeah, that's one thing, that's for sure. Taiwan has knocked it out of the fucking park as far as how developed all their hiking trails are. It's like, I thought South Korea was quite impressive compared to Japan. You know, much more developed and better signposted and better maintained, where Japan, a lot of the trails are very, very rough, very nature-centric, very much you're on your own. South Korea had everything laid out way better, and Taiwan, even better than that. I mean, again, there's a fucking railing here, and just steps, and lights, and a mobile signal. What else could a person need? If you get caught in the rain somehow, there's even all those pavilions. I mean, there's like, must be 8 or 10 pavilions hidden around up there that you could go hide in with nice little roofs and stuff. Pretty awesome. Ah, back in my hood, just leaving the subway. You know, it's surprising how different it feels in the different neighborhoods. Even though it's all Taipei, it does feel pretty different. And I mean, I guess if I had to pick that first place that I stayed, right in Ximen, that shit was crazy. What an insane location to just accidentally be at for my first time in Taipei. Literally just walk out my door and I'm right there. You know, I'm in like a little bit of a back street, but if I walk one block, I'm right at the area where there's like the two big movie theaters, just right there. Whereas this neighborhood, I mean, got a big overpass, got a Louisa Coffee over there, got a bunch of big-ass hotels and stuff, lots of traffic. It's pretty in a big city kind of way. As for the neighborhood itself, you know, it's pretty standard. In that sense, it's probably the least of the three, because the second neighborhood I was in was just way more, it was easier to get to like the Tiananmen Historical Trail and different places like that. This one is a pretty utilitarian neighborhood, but it's still nice, and I know it now. I know how to get to the subway and stuff. I don't need to follow the little dot on my phone, which I did need to do for at least the first week and a half. And yeah, I'm happy to stay here for the rest of my time just because it's still fine, and the actual place I'm in is probably my favorite of the three. It's very nice. Nice room and shower all to myself with a window to the outside, so so there's actual airflow. Amazing. And yeah, the air quality's been great lately. It has been like in the green. It was like 17 the other day. That's fucking amazing. That's crazy considering how bad it was some of the days here. I guess it's just part of the total unpredictability. The weather is just fucking wild, and the pollution is part of that. But yeah, one thing about going out on these little hikes, one of the greatest things about it is getting home and taking off all my disgusting fucking sweaty clothing, hopping in the nice, you know, the wet room where the full washroom is all a big shower. But I can't do that today because I'm literally wearing, I can't believe it timed out this perfectly, of like my last shirt, my last pair of underpants, but also my last pair of socks. I don't know how I managed that. I thought I had at least extra socks, but something happened to them along the way. I don't know. I think I've been burning holes in socks and not replacing them. But yeah, I kind of thought I would just take today off and go do laundry, but then once I got up and it's like, I just can't resist. I can't resist it. I just want to go back down to fucking Shenzhen and jump up the fucking hiking path. I couldn't wait. It's like once I got home yesterday, I was like, yeah, I could take tomorrow off. That's fine. But then by the time I sleep on it and wake up, it's like, nah, I'm ready to go again. And I'm glad I did. It was delightful. As a scooter convoy goes by. But yeah, now I got no choice. No choice but to go home, get my laundry, and just immediately go do laundry post-haste. Just gotta leave these gross clothes on. And get it done. There's a guy I've been watching on YouTube who I really like, a guy named Robin. His YouTube page is called Nomad Push. And he's a Japanese guy who he skateboarded clear across Japan. He has like a skateboard channel, but it's all in Japanese. So he started this English language channel called Nomad Push. And he's basically homeless. And he just traveled around Japan. And then he started making YouTube money and stuff. And things are a little less threadbare than they were initially. Currently, as I'm watching this, he's got a little moped that he's been driving around, and who knows what he's up to. By the time you hear this, he might even have a house. But it's basically like by choice. He's a guy in his 30s who had like a real estate job and was like, man, fuck this. I would rather be homeless. The rate of pay in Japan has barely risen in the past 20 or 30 years. You work like crazy, you make no money. He's like, I would rather just fucking sleep in a tent. Fuck this. But the reason I bring up old Robin-san is he only has like two pairs of shirts. He just wears one shirt and washes the other shirt. I don't know how the fuck. I mean, that is by far the biggest problem with my luggage and stuff is clothing. Most of it is clothes. If I could have less clothing, it would really help. But I don't know how you fucking do that, man. That shit's crazy. I mean, I guess if you just are always popping in to do a quick bit of laundry. But yeah, I don't know. I wish I could pull that off. But that is pretty extreme. But it's different too, because he is literally carrying all of his stuff every day. Where at least I can just put all my stuff in an Airbnb and not have to think about it for a little while. Man, I've also noticed these boots. I love these boots that I bought during the winter time in Seoul. So I've had them about, I don't know, more than 6 months anyway, probably 7 or 8 months, and I wear them every single day. And I've noticed lately that the little eyelets that you put the laces through, they're getting all rusty and old, and they're a brown boot, but a lot of the brown coloring is flaking off of the toes, and there's like a dark brown underneath. And it really looks like, these boots look like they've been abandoned. These look like boots that you would find in an attic somewhere that have been sitting there for years. But I'm still wearing them every day. But they look so fucked. But I like that. I like just wearing my stuff into the ground. I wish I could just buy a pair of boots and never have to buy another one ever. Because it's always so awkward switching to the new pair. Even when I bought these, they were actually quite painful at first. I couldn't figure out how to lace them properly. But now that I got it all figured out, they're perfect and I love them. And it makes me sad that they're falling apart because, you know, the sole is slowly coming off. And I don't know, they could last 2 more weeks, they could last 2 more months, but they're definitely on the way out. But I don't know, there's a certain pride to wearing something that looks this fucked up. They look like shit now. But their quality level has been great. I had no idea what to expect from the shoe district of Seoul, but they have been wonderful. I've bought way worse footwear than this many times in my life. These were $70 well spent. If I could, I would just go... These were $70 well spent. If I could, I would... Bitch. These were $70 well spent. If I could, I would just go back to the shoe district of fucking Seoul and buy another exact pair of these. I love them. But I think they've taught me that I should just buy boots. Fuck buying shoes. I wore these boots all through this insane heat wave summer, and the boots were never the problem. My feet were fine. Keeping my feet insulated in the heat turns out is fine. Didn't cause me any stress at all. The rest of my body was sweating like crazy, but my feet were all right. And it's so much better for like hiking and stuff. They're probably heavy as fuck, you know? Like I bet it'd be one of those things that if I switched over to sneakers, I'd have that amazing bouncy light feeling at first. Like, wow, I can't believe how heavy those boots were. But I never get to realize how heavy my boots are because I always wear the boots. I don't know, I suppose when I get back to Canada, maybe then I'll switch over to shoes. There's really no need for heavy-duty boots when there's no mountains. But out in this terrain, yeah, man, these boots rule. I love these boots. Sad to see you dying, boots. You've served me well. You have been some awesome boots. But anyway, there's the tale of my boots. And the tale of my upcoming laundry. I'm gonna stop in this 7-Eleven, get my favorite thing, my 7-Eleven exclusive for 30 Taiwan dollars, which is probably about $1.40, a carton, a nice half-liter carton of yogurt and green tea. God damn it, it's the best. Oh, I can taste it already. Well, here's a little bonus bit where I was just doing laundry midway between. Laundry's done, just waiting for the dryer. So I went to the local Family Mart, bought some stuff, was just sitting there eating. And somebody gave me a little shoulder poke who sat next to me. So, I mean, that's somebody who's motivated to talk. So I was like, hey, all right, I haven't talked to a local in a while. And this turned out to be Louisa from South Africa. And I was like, oh, Louisa, like the coffee. It's easy to remember. She's like, oh, you know Louisa Coffee? I was like, hell yeah, I do. It's my favorite coffee around here. But yeah, it's this lady from Cape Town, South Africa. And I was like, oh, cool. Never been to South Africa. But apparently she's lived in Taiwan for 40 years. And it was just a nice little chit chat. She's like, oh, I got a friend from Canada, whatever. And she seemed pretty cool. But the only thing was then... I just mentioned, like, yeah, I'm just traveling, you know, I was locked down in Canada for a while, so I got some money together, and now I'm just traveling. And she's like, oh, I'm a TV star. I was like, ah, there we go. There we go. It brought back memories of, I haven't thought about the guy in a while, but when I was a teenager, I knew a guy back in my hometown who, 18 minutes to go on the laundry. A guy who was always talking about this video game he was working on and like, yeah, I got connections with Sony and blah, blah, blah. I don't remember the name of the game anymore, but he like compulsively talked about it. And it's one of those things that like everybody in my friend group knew, like this is just bizarre delusion, like whatever. But he's a nice guy otherwise. So we were just like, yeah, whatever. Just let this dude talk about his video game and his supposed deal with Sony. And it was only like one of my friends who actually knew him longer, so I think had more time to get fed up with him, was the only one who eventually was like, dude, you just need to shut up. You need to shut up about this. I've been listening to you talk about this nonsense for like 2 or 3 years every time I see you. Just stop it. But other than that, everyone else in our Canadian way was too polite. So I took the same tack of just like, hey, why not? Let's just pretend she is in TV. So I was just like, hey, you know, I kind of like traveling in these places where I can't read the signs and I can't speak the language because no one pays attention to me. I think I would not enjoy being a TV star. Be a lot of eyes on you, a lot of pressure. She's like, yeah, people don't know. They don't know how hard it is. They don't know how much work it is. And then there's that silly part in the back of my mind that's like, what if she's not, what if this is true? I mean, she really seemed like, I don't think she's currently a TV personality of any kind. She's, you know, an older lady who's just wandering around, hanging out at the fucking Family Mart, yammering to people. But what if maybe that was true? Maybe that is how she ended up in Taiwan. Maybe she really was involved in TV back in the day. 40 years is a long time. I just have no reason to doubt that part of the story. That all seems pretty accurate or believable. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in as the bonus bit at the end. I met Louisa from Cape Town. And she's like, yeah, I'm always just around. And I was like, yeah, well, I'll be here for another month too. Maybe I'll see you around. Who knows? Maybe I made a neighborhood friend. I remember I made that neighborhood friend in Yokohama where I was like, I don't like this guy. I don't want to run into him again. He's weird and uncomfortable. Where this is like, hey, I know if I know somebody in the neighborhood, this is not the worst person I could know. This lady seems pretty all right. You just got to play along that she's a TV host. But yeah, I have no particular targets in South Africa. If I was ever to go to South Africa, I don't know, it probably will never happen just because I don't know anybody there. I don't have any particular reason to go. So I still don't, but at least that's something. Cape Town. She's like, yeah, Cape Town's nice. You should go to Cape Town. Like, all right, well, file that away. That's 1 point to Cape Town and absolutely no information about anywhere else. So by default, Cape Town is the winner so far. But all right, I'm gonna go hang out for 15 more minutes, wait for my laundry. Oh, bonus bit number two. Man, I just had my headphones in, just doing some editing stuff. God, I didn't realize how loud this room is. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. Like, I always have my headphones in. But geez, okay, we got this fan. Let's turn that off. We got the air conditioner. Let's turn that off. And those ones aren't too bad. I actually like the fan. The fan is nice white noise for sleeping. I guess this is the one. That's the hot water heater outside of my window. Let's close that door. There, that's not so bad. Anyway, I just wanted to mention real quick that I forgot to look up the proper name, the path I was on. Shitao Mountain Natural Trail. The name of the mountain is Little Lion Mountain. It's like, oh yeah, I knew it was something about lions. So that sign I saw where I was trying to identify the animal and I thought it looked like a gopher or something. What I didn't realize is like it's the animal head, but behind it, it's like a, you know, kind of like a sun shape. And now I realize, oh, that's a lion's mane. It's just that the lion, the face part, is so not threatening that the mane, it didn't occur to me that that's a mane and that this is supposed to be a lion. It is the friendliest lion I've ever seen in my life. But anyway, I thought that was funny that, oh, there you go. Should I start over recording this now that there's not that horrifying noise? No, I'm afraid not. No time. No time for that. Anyway, Little Lion Mountain is what it's called, and that image that was supposed, it was a little lion, and I didn't realize. Okay, sorry for blasting your ears with the hot water heater. Oh wait, okay, just again the magic of the pseudo translations of Google Maps. Some things are translated, some things are not. So I saw Little Lion Mountain, but the actual place where I started the hike from, that's right by the station, is Lion Cub Hiking Trail. So that makes sense. Little Lion, Lion Cub, same thing. But then it also says Lion's Head Mountain Trailhead. So it's all the versions. Little Lion, Lion Cub, Lion's Head. Just, you know, go to... Oh, there's something I can look up. How do you pronounce that station? But anyway, go to the station and just look for something to the east that involves a lion. And there you go. You'll be there. Well, unfortunately, the word Xindian is just the word Indian with an X at the start. So that confused it. Like, do you want pronunciations of Indian words? So I put Xindian Taipei pronunciation, and now it's just how to pronounce Taipei. Okay, here's a news report. Track connected on New Taipei's Xindian to Wugu MRT line. What do you got for me? Oh, this is interesting. Evolution of the Taipei Metro. I will watch that later. Xindian. Not too bad, not too bad. Xindian. It's okay, I didn't say it right. Xindian, okay. Now I know, I was saying like Xindian, like trying to say it too fast. Like Indian with a sh. Xindian. Well, there you go. Just mentally replace all the times I said it with Xindian. Cool. All right. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.